Okay, good morning, everybody. It's so great to be back learning together. Hope everyone is doing really well. And as I mentioned just a second ago, now we're going to be learning chapter 21 of Tehillim as we continue in our studying of all of Sefer Tehillim. Baruch Hashem, we're almost a full third of the way done with Tehillim, which is pretty extraordinary. I never thought we would get this far, and it's, I don't know about you, and I hope for you, but it's definitely been transformational for me, both in my understanding of Tehillim and in my own personal Avodas Hashem, my relationship with Hashem, my relationship with the world around us. I found that the writings of David HaMelech are eternal, and they speak to us at every generation, in every time, and under many circumstances. And so I've oftentimes, over the last year plus, since we started learning about Sefer Tehillim, found myself relying on the words of David HaMelech to try to help me capture a lot of what I'm feeling. I want to wish a belated happy birthday to Penny Perlman, who's on this chat this morning, and you should have many more in good health. Okay, Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21. Now, in order to fully understand chapter 21, I want to help us remember what chapter 20 is of Tehillim. Now, we studied chapter 20 many months ago, so I don't expect anyone to remember it. But the good news is that we said chapter 20 this morning. We say it every single morning, and that's Lamnatzeach Mizmor La David Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. Right, that Hashem is going to answer me in a time of difficulty. And again, we say that in between Ashrei Unuval Tzion at the end of davening every single morning. If you remember back to our class all the way a couple, maybe 10 months ago, just found on Y.E. Torah if anyone's interested, but you'll remember that one of the central themes of that chapter of Tehillim was a theme of power, right? Eila varecha ve'eila vasusim, that there are those who rely on chariots and horses, but ve'anachnu, but we, b'shem Hashem Elokeinu naskir, we are going to call out, we are going to remember the name of Hashem. And in that class many months ago, about 10 months ago, we spoke about that dichotomy, that break between Judaism and other religions, that when we talk about the rechev in the sus, the horse, and the in the chariot, what it's a reference to is the power of Mitzrayim. You'll remember that in Egypt, if you look in the story of Egypt, you will remember that over and over and over again, it talks about the power of not just Paro, but of Sus Verachvo. Over and over again, read it in Az Yashir, read it in the lead up to Az Yashir. Over and over again, the Torah highlights not just Paro's power, but Paro's power vis-a-vis horses and chariots. That was the symbol of power, of human power in antiquity. And that's why, right, what was a king not allowed to have? So in addition, not allowing to have too many wives, which is there for obvious reasons, a king is also not able to have too many horses. What could possibly be wrong with horses? The answer is that if a king had too many horses, what was the fear? That he would start believing his own power and not relying anymore on the power of Hashem. And so Sus Verachvo is that defining characteristic, so to speak, the demarcating line between believing in Hashem and believing in your own might and your own power. And that's what we had stated in chapter 20, was our avoda, was our the work that we had to do, was to remind ourselves that we don't rely on mankind, that we don't rely on our power, but rather we are reliant, ve'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu naskir. We rely on Hashem, and therefore the climactic pasuk of that parak was Hashem Hoshia Melchi Aneinu b'yom Karenu, that on the day that we call out, on that b'yom tzara, on that day of need, what is our emunah, what is our faith? That Hashem, you are going to save us. The Das Mikra points out that chapter 21 follows up on those themes, and I'll show you as we go along. But in broad strokes, the Das Mikra points out that if chapter 20 is before the Tzara or during the Tzara, while you're going through a difficult time, chapter 21 is after the Tzara, is after you've already gone through that difficult time, you've experienced Hashem's salvation, and now you are singing out a song of praise and joy to Hashem. And that's going to be the theme that we are going to talk about in chapter 21. Chapter 21 is broken up into three parts. The first part is the wealth of a king who has been blessed by Hashem. Again, according to the Das Mikra, this is retrospective. The king, the person, has already experienced that salvation, and now they are singing out to Hashem. They're praising Hashem. They're thanking Hashem that they have been blessed with salvation. The next part is verses 8 through 13, where we talk about the king overcoming his enemies. And then the last pasuk, which is a siyum, which is somewhat of a summary of the entire chapter, which is a national request for us to see Hashem's strength. And so our parak concludes, Ruma Adonai be'uzecha, right? Hashem, you are uplifted through your strength. Nashira unizamra gvurasecha, we are going to sing out in praise when we see your strength. So, says the Das Mikra, these two chapters, perhaps, he even argues, I don't necessarily know that it's true factually, but it could be that at one point in time, these two chapters were together, they were meant to be read together. One is prospective, one is retrospective, one is before the Tzara, or while you're in the Tzara, and the other is already after you have been saved from the Tzara, and you're feeling that sense of joy. Okay, let's jump right in. Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21 of Tehillim. Says David HaMelech, L'Menaseach Mizmor LeDavid, again a song for David. Adonai Be'oscha Yismach Melech. Adonai Be'oscha, which means you, Hashem, in your strength, the king is going to rejoice. Uv'yishuascha Mayagel Ma'od, and in your salvation, how pleasant or how enjoyable, how great is this going to be? Says the Metzudas David, Be'ha'oz Haniten Mimcha LeMelech. The strength, Hashem, that you give to the king, Hine Yismach Bo. Here we're talking about Melech HaMashiach. We're talking about both David HaMelech, King David, but we're also talking about Melech HaMashiach. And we'll see that the Davidic dynasty and the eternality of the Davidic dynasty is prominent in this chapter of Tehillim. So, Adonai Be'oscha Yismach Melech. Hashem, when you gave strength to the Melech HaMashiach, when you gave strength to the Davidic dynasty, then Hine Yismach Bo. That is going to cause us to rejoice. The Malbim points out, "B'mizmor hazeh yisaper hatzlachos David miyom shenimshach lemelech." Says the Malbim, when we'll read a lot of this parak according to the eyes of the Malbim, this is a chapter that David HaMelech read on the day that he was coronated as king. Ve'ichivtichu Hashem shiyam malchus Yerushalavanim. And what's causing David HaMelech to rejoice is recognizing the eternality of his malchus. Recognizing that Malchus Beis David, that the Davidic dynasty is La'olam Va'ed. Knowing that you're not just living for yourself, but that you're living for something beyond yourself, that what you have lived for is going to exist far beyond you, that causes the greatest joy. Think about it in our own lives. Again, David HaMelech's words are not just for David HaMelech, they're for us and they're for posterity. Right? The greatest nachas we have, the greatest joy we have are not the new car and the big house and the bigger bank account, because those are here one second, gone the next. The greatest nachas we have is when we see a child or a grandchild, when we see a family member live on the values that we espouse and the things that we teach. Why? Because that gives us a sense of eternality. It reminds me, or it gives me the comfort, that I'm not just living for the here and now, but that I'm living forever, that I'm tapping into something far greater. And again, we're going to see that that's really the central theme here. So says the Malbim, that when David HaMelech realizes that even though he will come to an end at one point, his children will carry on what he stood for, that is what gives him the ultimate feelings of joy. And so he says, Adonai be'oscha yismach melech. Says the Malbim something extraordinarily powerful. He says, Hine kol melech lo yismach al oz melechech acher. Could you imagine one king being happy for another king's success? If you and I are countries that border each other, I'm not necessarily happy for your success. You know why? Because if you get very powerful, you know what I know is coming next? That you're going to slowly try to encroach your way into my territory and it's going to lead to war. It's called world history. That's how I just summarized European history in like 3 seconds, okay? So generally, one king is not happy about the success of another king. However, here, what do we say? Al oscha yismach hamelech. David HaMelech is dafka happy about Hashem's strength. V'chein lo yagel hamelech im noshal yidei melech acher. And so too, if I have to be saved by another king, am I happy about that? No. Usually, the fact that someone else needs to come along and save me is a representation of my own weakness. And yet, what do we say here? U'vishuascha ma yagel mo. David HaMelech is happy that he had to be saved by Hashem. And so again, I started off, and I really believe that this is the subtext to the entire perek. It's about human power and godly power. Human power would have been mortified if it needed another king to save him. A human king would have been mortified or would not be thrilled if the neighboring king were to become much more powerful. You'd be nervous. You'd be afraid of that. Think about the stories of Ahasuerus and Megillas Esther. And yet what shows David's greatness is that despite the fact that David was a king, he ultimately recognized where it came from. Where did his might come from? Where did his power come from? It wasn't in the Sus Verachvo. David HaMelech never thought that it was his own abilities, in his own strength, in his own capabilities, which allowed him to achieve this success. No! It was Ve'anachnu B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. It was the fact that he put his faith in Hashem. And therefore, after David HaMelech is saved, and after he is coronated as king according to the Malbim, now David HaMelech is singing to Hashem. He's not embarrassed that Hashem had to save him. He's thrilled that Hashem had to save him. Pasuk Gimel. Tavas libo nasatalo. You have given this king, the Melech, whether again, David, Melech, Mashiach, all of us, you have given us tavas libo, the rejoicing of our heart. In other words, that which we have desired. Ve'areshes svasav bal manata sela. Ve'areshes svasav, you and I should know those words clearly, right? Areshet tzifaseinu yerav lefanecha, right? We say it on Rosh Hashanah. Areshet tzifasav means the prayer of our heart, or our lips, ba'manat asel. You never withheld any of it from us. So tavas libo nasatalo. What's a taiva? Taiva is a desire. Do you and I know what I desire right now? No, you have no clue what's in my heart. You only know what comes out of my mouth. What differentiates Hashem is Hashem is aware both of the needs in my heart and what I communicate with my mouth. Now, why do we need both of those? The answer is because you and I are frail human beings. You and I are innately imperfect, and we are incapable of fully communicating sometimes and verbalizing what it is we're feeling and what it is that we are needing. And so, in addition to Vareshet Svasav, in addition to the words of my mouth, which I am able to articulate to Hashem, Hashem is so great that he even anticipates what I need. Tavas libo. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what I am desiring. But it goes the other way also. Because it means that if I pay lip service to something, if I say words but don't really mean it, well then Hashem knows tavas libo also. So the notion of Hashem knowing both what we're saying and thinking can go both ways. If we're feeling something, we just can't communicate it. Great, Hashem knows what we're feeling. If we're spitting lip service mechanically and by rote, but we don't really mean it, then Hashem knows that as well. The Gemara in Erevin tells explicitly on Daf Nundalat Amad Aleph that this is a reference to Tefillah. And says the Gemara over there, Rava Amar, Tavas libo nasata lo ve'areshes vasa ban manata sela, our pasuk. Eimasai tavas libo nasata lo. When does Hashem give us what's in our heart? Bizman she'areshes vasa ban manata sela. When we verbalize it, right? We have to daven. You cannot go to the top of the Himalayas and sit there and go, and assume that Hashem is going to know what you think. The Rapinkus writes this in Shaar ben Tefila. He writes, you can't assume that Hashem's going to listen to your heart. You have to verbalize it, right? Verbal communication is so central to our relationship with Hashem. Whether it's vidui, that we say on Yom Kippur, whether it's the concept of his bodidus, which Rav Nachman introduced into our parlance, the notion of speaking to Hashem, of communicating, of verbalizing with Hashem. But that's what Tefila is. Tefila is that it's not enough just to reside in your heart, says the Gemara. But you actually have to verbalize. You have to talk. You have to communicate to Hashem. And that's why we employ both the sitter and just the vernacular. Right? Sometimes we go outside to woods, to the backyard, to the pool, wherever it's going to inspire you. And you sit by yourself and you just talk to Hashem about what tavas libo are, about what the desires of my heart are. That's what the Gemara in Erevin says our pasuk over here is talking about. The Gemara in Erevin also points out parenthetically that these two concepts are contradictory. That on the one hand it says tavas libo nasatalo, and on the other hand it says ve'areshes vasav. Aren't those contradictory? If Hashem knows what's in my heart, why does he need my lips? Says the Gemara, zacha tavas libo nasatalo. If you are worthy, then Hashem will hear your heart and you're good. Lo zacha, but if you're not worthy, then you actually have to come along and verbalize it. I don't want to be presumptuous, speak about any of you. I'm going to make the assumption I'm not worthy, and therefore I have to communicate to Hashem. I have to use davening, both in the literal and the broadest sense, as an opportunity to communicate to Hashem what my needs are. Now, parenthetically, when we talk about the shofar, this again is totally off track, but when we talk about the shofar, this is the shofar, right? Why do we say at the end of the shofar, Ve'areshes vasenu yerav lefanecha, right? What is the shofar? What does the shofar have to do with davening? So Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that shofar is a form of davening. But why? I'm not verbally communicating anything. So Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful insight. He says that all davening, we're verbalizing our needs to Hashem. But no matter how hard you and I try to communicate with God, at the end of the day, we hit a barrier. You know why? Because God is infinite, we are finite. Because we're human beings. And because sometimes we ask for silly things, and sometimes we don't even know what we want to ask for. And so at a certain point, we use the shriek of the shofar, a non-verbal form of prayer, to essentially say to Hashem, Hashem, here's what's in my heart, right? Where is the sound of the shofar coming from? Air in my lungs. It's coming from my insides. I'm using it. I'm saying, Hashem, here is my heart. Because you know everything, please fill in the blanks. Sometimes we're not able to fully communicate our needs and our desires and our wants to Hashem. And so on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we employ the nonverbal sounds of the shofar to allow Hashem to fill in the blanks, to allow Hashem to intuit what my ta'avas libo are. I think it's a beautiful pasuk, and definitely something to think about. Pasuk Dalet, Kisik kadmenu brachos tov tashis l'rosho ateres paz. What does Hashem do? He doesn't just wait until I need something, but he anticipates my needs. And he gives me the blessings long before I even ask for them. Say the Mefarshim here, we're talking about Malchus David existing for eternity. David HaMelech is essentially saying, I didn't even know that I needed it, but now I know how much I appreciate it. Malbim points out is that now we are starting to talk about Hatzlachot David. David HaMelech is saying, you gave me blessings before I even realized I knew that the blessings, right? Matchil Lesaper Hatzlachas David. Now we are going to speak about the successes of David. Again, remember, according to the Malbim, this is all on the day that David is coronated as king. And he's looking back at some of the moments of trials and tribulations that Hashem allowed him to overcome and succeed. And he's praising Hashem retrospectively about Hashem's greatness. Pasuk, hey, Chayim sha'al mimcha nasatalo, orech yamim olam va'ed. Chaim Sha'al, the life that I asked for, you gave me. Orech Yamim Olam Ved. You gave me Orech Yamim. Long life doesn't here mean physical life. You gave me eternality. Says the Malbim, what are we talking about? What's Chaim? Achar Kach Ratza Sha'ol Lahargo. That after David that Sha'ol wanted to kill David. Sorry, after Shmuel had already come and told David that he would be king, Shaul wants to come and kill David. Ubikesh mimcha chayim shelo yamus biyad Shaul. And David HaMelech asked of Hashem that he should not die at the hands of Shaul. That, says the Malbim, was what we're talking about. Chayim sha'al mimcha nasatalo. Right, I asked for life. Why? Because there was someone who wanted to kill me. Okay, you know what, I'm going to share this idea now. The Noyim Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Milizhansk, has a beautiful interpretation of this pasuk. What's Chaim Sha'al Mimcha Nasatalo? So if you look at 99.9% of the Mefarshim, they say Sha'al is the life that I asked for, right? I asked Hashem for life. I was in a precarious situation. Shaul was trying to kill me. David HaMelech says, I come to you before God. I asked for life and he gave it to me. Says the Noyim Elimelech, that's not what it's talking about. That the word Sha'al doesn't just mean ask, but for those who learn Baba Kama or are familiar with the Torah, right? What's a shoel? A shoel is a borrower. You're borrowing something from someone. Says the Noam Elimelech, Chaim Sha'al Mimcha. Hashem, I recognize that my life is borrowed from you. That you and I are all here on borrowed times. Says the Noam Elimelech, Dihine Hatzadik, Hachaim Sheish Lo Ba'olam Azeh, Eino Etzlo Rak Kamo Davar Hanishal. Our lives in this world are borrowed from Hashem. Lefisha, They're here, it's ephemeral, it's fleeting, it's here 1 second, gone the next. Umachmas zeh holechum is gaber tamid bikdusha, machmas shemechashiv tamid shemayom huachzara sheila. And the reason why you and I are so scrupulous in our performance of mitzvos is because we never know. Today could be the day that God asks for what he lent us back. God's going to ask for our neshama back. We never know when that's going to happen. And so all the time we're vigilant in doing the right thing because we never know when God's going to ask for his borrowed item back. V'zehu chayim sh'al mimcha. That, says the Noam Elimelech, is what it means that life is borrowed from you. Perish ha-tzadik sh'mechashiv she'chayim eina ela she'ela. That a righteous person is someone who always feels that their life is borrowed from Hashem. Shemechashiv she'chayim eino ela b'she'ela she'shal mimcha. That we never take life for granted, that we never assume we're going to be here forever, but we always recognize it's borrowed from Hashem. Lachein nasata la'orech yamim al yedei zeh zochel arichas yamim olam haba. And because we feel, listen to this, it's such godless, it's such greatness. Because we feel constantly that our life is borrowed, what are we going to do? We're going to maximize our time. We're going to do what's right. We're not going to waste opportunities. And because we're going to maximize our time, and because we're going to do the right thing, therefore, we get orech yamim. Orech yamim doesn't mean in this world, right? What orech yamim means is the world to come. That when you and I always have a proper understanding of what our lives are meant to be, and how we're meant to spend our time here on this earth, then we're going to invest ourselves in the right things. We're not going to invest in frivolity. And we're not going to waste time and waste opportunities and get bogged down in petty infighting. Right? We're going to do the right thing. And we're going to spend times on meaningful things. And by doing that, that's what guarantees Orech Yamim. I think it's such a magnificently beautiful pasuk. And again, I always say there's some things that I say that are worth the price of admission. This Noam Elimelech, I think, is worth the price of admission. Chaim shal mimcha nasatalo. Hashem, you have given us a borrowed life, right? Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach, we say in Siddiq Adin at a funeral. Hashem, you have given and you take back sometimes. Sometimes you're going to call us and say, I want my loan back. But if we always have that in mind, if we never know when that moment's going to come and we use our time wisely, then it's orech yamim le'olam va'ed. Then we'll do things that guarantee us eternality. Torah and mitzvos and kindness and chesed and menschlichkeit. If we invest ourselves in that, then we get olam, orech chaim. That is the true gift of everlasting life. I think it's a magnificent, beautiful interpretation of the Noam Elimelech. And again, it's definitely not pshat in the pasuk, but I think it's such a rich, deep understanding. And again, I think it was worth it just for that pasuk. Pasuk vav. Gadol kvodo bishuasecha. Right? Hashem, your kavod is going to be magnified as a result of what? As a result of my salvation. Hod v'hadar tishave alav. Right? Beauty is placed upon us. Says the Malbim, what are we talking about here? What's gadol? Says the Malbim, achar shemei Shaul. Remember, Shaul wanted to kill, according to the Malbim. The previous pasuk was Shaul wanted to kill David. David HaMelech succeeded. Hallelujah. Next pasuk. After Shaul died, Niskadel Kvodo al Yedeshu Asecha. So what happened? Shemeshichuhu Kol Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael anointed Melech David HaMelech. V'yatzliach b'milchamosav. And David HaMelech was successful in his battles. Ad ki hod v'hadar tishavelo. That the greatness, Shehod shenasatalo, hayashavelo, rotzolomer nerachlo, v'royalav l'fimasav. Right now on, everyone understood. And everyone appreciated the greatness of Hashem. Hod v'hadar, by the way, the Malbim points out elsewhere on Pesach Kavdalid, Perak Kavdalid, excuse me, which we say in Bar Chinashi on Rosh Chodesh. Hod is internal, hadar is external. Hod is an internal joy, is an internal beauty. Hadar is what is manifested externally. Okay, fine. That is Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. Ki sishisehu brachos la'ad, because you have placed on me blessings forever. Tichadeu b'simcha es panecha, you have placed on me, you have given me this everlasting joy. Okay, this everlasting joy. The Malbim points out here, what are we talking about here? Again, Shaul tries to kill David. David is successful. Then David becomes king. David is happy. What's Kisa Shiseu, says the Malbim Achar Kach Ratzah Livnos Habayis. Afterwards, David HaMelech wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. Uba'au Havtacha Al Yidei Nasan Anavi. And Hashem, you granted that to him as well. Shelo Tasur HaMalchus Mei Beisov Adolam. By allowing Shlomo to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have given David the confidence that his Malchus, that Malchus based David, that the Davidic dynasty, will stand forever. That is what gives David that ultimate simcha. That's what gives David that ultimate joy. Techadeu b'simchas panecha means this outward manifestation of joy. Again, David HaMelech is exploding in happiness right now. Pasachet, again, now is where we transfer a little bit from the feeling of wealth that David feels having been saved to now an expression of that vis-a-vis the battlefield. Pasaches, ki HaMelech boteach baronai, because the king places his bitachon in Hashem. Again, contrast this to the previous parak of Eilav Arecha, Eilav Asusim, Anachna B'Shem Elkeinu Naskir, that what differentiates a Jewish king from a non-Jewish king is our reliance on Hashem. The Radak says this explicitly. Ein lo bitachon, v'simcha ela becha, that a Jewish king only places his faith in you, God. And of course, when we're talking about the Jewish king, we're talking about all of us, right? All of us, Hashem. We place our bitachon in you, v'lo berov hamon. And we don't place it in the masses, right? We don't do things for popularity. We don't try to flatter and fawn over the masses and hope that because they like it. No, the job of a king is to do what's right and then to put his faith in Hashem. Ki HaMelech boteach b'Hashem, because what differentiates a Jewish king is not the rechev vasus, it's not our belief in our own power, but rather it's our bitachon b'Hashem. V'chesed elyon bal yimot, and because of Hashem's great kindness, we will never falter. Timtza, yadcha l'chol eivecha, your hand is found in all the enemies. Yimincha timtza sonecha, again, they will feel your wrath, so to speak, Hashem. Tishisemo ketanur eish la'eis, panecha adonai be'apoi v'aleim, v'tochleim eish. Hashem, what are we asking for? That you should burn them, right? What's in a fire? Fire is all-consuming, the Radak points out. That we want to consume our enemies. We want them to be consumed by destruction. Pir yamo me'eretz te'abed. And their descendants should be ridden from the world. Vizaram im ne'adam. And we want them to be eviscerated. We want them to be gone, not because we like to see people suffer, but because we hate evil. Remember we said previously, Sone Hashem, right? Oave Hashem sinura. That those who love God have to hate hatred. That's where Judaism might differentiate itself from other religions. But we hate hatred. And we hate people that bring evil into the world. Ki natu alecha ra'ah. Why, Hashem? Because they have brought evil onto you. Chashvu mizima bal yuchalu, says the Malbim, that sometimes they are able to act upon their evil, and sometimes they just think it. But says the Malbim, even if they don't act on it, and they only think it, that is in and of itself a reason for them to be destroyed. Ki tishisemo shechem b'meisarecha, Techonein al pnehem, right? What's kishisemo shechem? So shechem is like a portion. It's a lot. The Radak points out that lamash amar bayichlu, right? In the previous pasuk, they said that they thought about doing harmful things, but they weren't allowed to. Why weren't they allowed to? Because you, Hashem, you placed them into a corner. In other words, you didn't allow them to connect one with another, to gather together in an effort to harm humanity or to harm the Jewish people. You kind of kept them separate, Hashem. B'meisarecha techonein al pneihem, right? And talking about the arrows over here. And then finally, in Pasuk Yedalad, Ruma Adonai Buzecha. This is the summary, right? Ruma Adonai Buzecha. When everyone sees your oaths, when everyone sees your strength, Hashem, Ruma, we want you to be elevated. Nashira unezamra gvorasecha. And we will sing songs of praise about your strength. And so, what did we see this morning? Let's come back and summarize. As the Das Mikra points out, this chapter is very much comparable, builds off of the previous parak. Whereas the previous parak spoke be'es tzara, in a time of tzaras, this chapter is very clear that David HaMelech is not in a time of tzaras, but he's reflecting, at least according to the way the Malbim reads it and many other Mefarshim, he's reflecting upon a time when he was in tzaras. And he's saying, despite the fact that I went through all these hardships, Shaul and the battles and all the difficulties that I went to, Hashem, you were always there for me. And I see now that all of it was to grant me access to everlasting life, to orech yamim, le'olam va'ed, to give me that sense of eternality. Because when we connect ourselves to Hashem, when we connect ourselves to His Torah, when we connect ourselves to things that are meaningful, that's what gives David HaMelech the ultimate joy. Now, sometimes you can't appreciate that in the time of Tzaras. That's Perek Chaf. But when you experience the salvation or the redemption from that Tzaras, that's when we have to reflect upon the miracles of Hashem that brought us to this point and sing out praise to Him. The Yalkut Medrash points out that when we talk about bracha here, when we talk about access to eternality here, the Yalkut points out that there's only one real blessing in this world. Rav Yehuda Omer brachos Moshe, shenikra tov, ki lekach tov nasati lachem. Right? Do you ever wonder? It says, tikadmenu birchos tov, in Pasuk Dalet. We ask Hashem, or we thank Hashem, that you beat us to the punch, so to speak. You anticipated my needs and you gave me the blessing before I even asked for them. But you'll notice there's something very weird in the Pasuk. It says, birchos tov, good blessings. You ever hear of a bad blessing? Right? Rabbi, give me a blessing. Okay, I bless you that you should be cursed and you should have a horrible... That's not a blessing. It's a curse. So what does it mean, a birchos tov? What does it mean, a good blessing? The Alkut points out that a good blessing is something that is everlasting. Right? I could bless you with a new car. I could bless you with a bigger house. But that's here 1 second, gone the next. The only things that are tov, the only things in this world that are good, are things that are everlasting, are things that are going to be in existence even after you and I are no longer here. And so says the Yalkut, Rav Yehuda Omer Birchos Moshe. Now what are we talking about here? The Birchos Moshe. In other words, Torah. Because why? Torah is called Tov. Ki lekach Tov nasati lachem. Right? It's called a good thing. Vatero so ki tovu. God looked at the world and what did He see? That it was good. Rabbanan Amri Birchos Shel Torah Shenemar Torah si al tazov. Right? Again, we're talking about... I'm sorry that Yalkut got mixed up. I'm realizing now. When I copied it into my Word document, it got mixed up, right? That the Rabbanan say it's Birchos Shel Torah, that the Torah is Shenemar Ki Lekach Tov. And Rav Yehuda says it's Birchos Moshe, as it says Vatero So Kitovu, that when Moshe was born, they saw that he was good, right? These are the things, that's funny, these are the things that give us eternality. These are the things that give us Nitzchius. The only things that are good in this world are things that are everlasting, right? When we get bogged down into what's good, in our desires, in our yearnings, in our cravings, we have to remember that those are all short-lived. What's really good, what's ki lekach tov nasati lechem, what's really good for us is that sense of nitzchias, is that sense of eternality. So again, chapter 20 was prospective. It was in the time of Tzaras. Chapter 21 is, what do you do when you feel that Hashem helped you? What do you do when you've come out of that tunnel and you've succeeded despite the hard and difficult times? So now it is incumbent upon us to sing the praise of Hashem, to recognize where that success comes from, to recognize where our power and our might comes from, not from our abilities, not because we have innate internal power, but rather it all comes from Hashem. That is the message of chapter 21 of Tehillim. And again, I implore you not to forget in Pasuk 5, that beautiful, beautiful insight of the Noam Elimelech, of Chaim Sha'al Mimcha Nasatalo, that Hashem has given us something on loan. It's called our lives. And if we view that always as being on loan and we don't take it for granted and we never forget how meaningful and how lucky we are, then we'll use our time wisely in Orech Yamim Olam Va'ed, and we will, because we used our time wisely, we will be able to do things that are meaningful and that give us that sense of eternality. I want to wish everyone a beautiful, wonderful